This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. In today's episode, we will be discussing three big stories that have rocked both India and the world over the last 2 days. The first is the demonetization move by the Modi government. The second story we look at is about Tata Sons, who've declared war with Cyrus Mistry. And finally, we end with the US elections, where Donald Trump has just been elected as the newest president of the US. And we look at how this is going to impact Asia, India, business, trade, and what it means for growth overall. The first story we discuss is the demonetization move by the government, where they've scrapped 500,000 rupee notes in a bid to curb black money. So while it seems that the long-term benefits seem to sort of outweigh the, you know, short-term inconveniences that the general public is facing, what do you have to say about this?
I think it's a good move. It was partly to combat counterfeiting. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have been informed adequately about the extent of the counterfeiting problem.
Right.
And I have a feeling that maybe the government had some intelligence about some large-scale counterfeiting, which prompted this immediate and sort of precipitate action. There are, of course, benefits in terms of flushing out black money. But you must understand that the popular perception of people stuffing their mattresses with 500 and 1,000 rupee notes, while it may be true to some extent, it's not, you know, it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
Right.
I think these days people have more sophisticated ways of keeping. But that said, there is a significant population of traders, doctors, lawyers, jewelers.
Yes.
Many of whom get paid in cash. Right, we know how it is. I can't think of the last time my doctor gave me a bill. Right, so many of these people do clearly operate in the cash economy and keep a lot of cash around. And those people will now have to declare it. And if it is not commensurate with their known sources of income and other things, they will be charged a penalty and all that. So, yes, it will tackle this hoarding of cash that has happened in that strata of the population.
Right.
But clearly, the black money problem is much bigger. So, good move, because one, I think the counterfeiting issue is a big issue. You take care of that. And counterfeits obviously fuel terror groups and everything else. So I think it's a damn good move. The second thing is it will address temporarily the black money issue. Surely the larger benefit or the larger way to address the black money issue would be to tackle the problem at the root, right? And to prevent ways in which it can be generated, which can be done through much more efficient monitoring of tax payments. I still think that it's a travesty that we have as few taxpayers as we have in this country, right? I mean, there are a lot of people in this country, but even if you were to just go after people who buy luxury cars and things like that, that's anyone and everyone who's walking around with an iPhone 6S or an iPhone 7, have they paid tax, right? I mean, I don't think so, right? The numbers are actually smaller than that. So I think that is one of the problems. Corruption has been weeded out to some extent after the new government came in, which you can also make out by the fact that the real estate market in Delhi is dead.
Right.
So those kind of things will happen. But as for some of the other benefits that are being spoken of, people are saying that this will correct the real estate market. I'm not convinced that it will correct the market in the medium to long term unless you really go after the root causes, the generators of black money in the system. But on the whole, our house view is that it's a good move, timely. Whatever black money comes out, still good, right? You might not get trillions, but whatever you get, you might get tens of thousands of crores. You could get fewer than that. But even if you were only to get 1,000 crores, let's say, I think it's good because it's money which was not there, not reported, and it's come back into the system. You've caused significant inconvenience to these people who were hoarding cash and operating in the parallel economy. So from that perspective, it's a welcome move. And yes, there is a lot of inconvenience for, what can I say, the common man, or not really common man. Right?
Everybody.
Because the middle class likes to think that it is common. It's actually not so common. The middle class is privileged. But I think people have taken it with a lot of resilience, right? I mean, they're not upset about it. I spoke to several people yesterday and they seem to be quite all right with it. There's a little bit of schadenfreude that, you know, these guys who are hoarding black money are now going to get screwed. sure, not the really big guys, because the really big guys, like I said, don't keep money in their mattresses. But it is going to cause some problems for the other guys.
So moving on, the next story we discuss is the corporate one, where Tata Sons has, you know, kind of declared war on Cyrus Mistry, and he's saying something, they're saying something else, and basically they're washing their dirty linen in public. I mean, the battle doesn't seem to end.
Yeah, and I don't think it will end. I think it is going to be messy. And I said this the last time we spoke also. Right. It's been, what, 24th October to now. It's just been 3 weeks, and it's been a fairly active 3 weeks. I think the emphasis on the side of the Tata Group is to show that it did the right thing in firing Cyrus Mistry. Mm. So there are lots of reports and other things. The other side is obviously countering it and saying, look, the group was a mess. Mm. And to be fair, the group did have a lot of problems. And they claim, the Mistry camp claims, that he worked towards turning around some of these companies. The emphasis on this part of the Cyrus camp is to say there were lots of governance issues and lots of other issues that he was highlighting. And the imputation seems to be that he was going after far too many of the holy cows, right? The people who cannot be touched in the Tata Group. And the group's response is that their response is that this is not the case, right? You know, they're saying we were acting against a lot of these things that had come to our knowledge. So there will be a lot of things that both sides don't want to come out, which we will see coming out over the next few weeks. Like a good newsroom, we are not on anyone's side. I like the fact that there's so much news. And it is unfortunate from the perspective of business. It is unfortunate from the perspective of operating companies in the Tata Group, some of which are very good companies. Mm. I'm told that the CEOs are being forced to take sides. The boards already seem to have started taking sides. We had independent directors of Indian Hotels last week support Mistry. We had the directors of Tata Chemicals yesterday support Mistry. And in response, I'm told that the Tata Sons board has acted against some of these directors, not confirmed. I just saw a flash, but we're trying to find out whether this is true. We'll know shortly, I would think. So it's not good for the employees to be forced to take sides.
Right.
And so from that perspective, it's not a good thing. Mm. The group's image has taken a beating. It's going to take a lot to come out of this. Mm. We all knew that. See, in business, no one is whiter than white, right? But there was this feeling that the Tata Group was up there in terms of quality of corporate governance and everything else. And that sheen is now gone. It's that image is taking a beating. So your guess is as good as mine as to how this will turn out. If you were to ask me to crystal ball gaze, then I can only think of the worst case scenario, that this becomes fairly similar to the Ambani versus Ambani family fight that we saw in the 2000s. And that resulted with some sort of division of
businesses.
Yeah. I wouldn't rule that out in this case. Again, to be fair, I don't think either side has thought about it. But you have a 18% shareholder in the holding company, and that 18% is worth a lot. So how are you going to resolve this fight? Right. So my sense is there is going to be some sort of division of businesses. Mm. Worst case scenario.
Okay.
Best case scenario, they settle quietly, quickly, group remains intact, and both sides stop washing their dirty linen in public.
Seems unlikely, but let's see. Right. So finally, we move to the American elections, where Donald Trump has been elected as the newest president of America in what was one of the most divisive elections ever fought. So, I mean, a lot has been said and written, but let's take it from a point of view of business. What does it mean for, you know, Asia, India, business growth?
It depends on his policy, right? All through his campaign, Trump took a very protectionist position when it came to immigration, when it came to trade. These are two issues that India is very worried about. If that remains his position after the elections, now that he's the president, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be, right? I don't entirely buy these theories that various gurus are putting forth, saying that was his campaign position, now he will change, he'll become more statesmanlike. Maybe. If it happens, I'd be very happy. But I think it's unlikely. And if that happens, then it's bad for globalization as a whole, which was anyway coming apart at the seams, right? I mean, for a variety of other reasons, including the fact that most people are unhappy that their incomes haven't gone up across countries. Europe is a mess. Parts of Asia are a mess. In the US, lots of people are unhappy and angry, which is why Mr. Trump is now the president. So from the trade perspective and from the immigration perspective, I don't think it's such a great thing for India. From the national security perspective, I think it might be a little better, simply because Republicans have always been nicer to India than Democrats. And so maybe that would help. The markets are, of course, extremely nervous, but I think still think it's far too early, right? I mean, whether it's in the US or Europe or India, markets will eventually settle into their own rhythm. I think this is just it's one of these knee-jerk reactions that we saw on that day, on the day of the election. But clearly, the equation is different. India will have to see what it means. But then, in the bigger picture, the US will have to see what it means. Right? I mean, forget the impact on India. Think of the impact in the US. He has been the most polarizing candidate in years, and he has won, right? So, and everyone has to accept this, right? Because he is a democratically elected president. I don't for a minute sympathize with people who are referring to the faults in the voting system now, or the fact that Hillary may have marginally won the popular vote. None of these things matter. It was a fair election. It was a free election. He won it fair and square. He is now the president of the United States of America, and they have to deal with it. The rest of the world will have to deal with it. But I think the important thing is all of this depends on how he deals with it.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and see you next Friday.